Life today.
Coming up on America Tonight, should there be bird radar? Remember back in January, Captain Sullenberger, when he landed that flight so bravely in the Hudson, he was testifying before the NTSB. They had a hearing on what could be done with these Canadian geese and the situation with the engines. It's not just in New York where they run afoul of this, so to speak. The Magic win their first finals game ever. ATN's technical director, Matt Johnson, is happy about that because he hates Kobe Bryant. We'll talk about that in sports shorts. Also, London police are accused of waterboarding. More details. Not just the Americans getting nailed for this. Or is it just the Americans? And as far as the bailout babies are concerned with the banks, a lot of them paying back the big bucks to the government, but what will they do with the funds? Does it go back into the Treasury, or is it recycled? In the meantime, a couple of other things are making news. Pakistan, of course, a hotel is blown, at least a piece of it, off, and many people dead as a result, 70 wounded, a lot of them working for the UN. Sad story. We'll give you some of the details on that as well, and the latest on the French jet and where that stands as far as the body count and what they're finding out about that flight and what went wrong between Rio and Paris. And, of course, this story about North Korea, there's two stories when it comes to North Korea. You know how I feel about the one as far as the nuclear testing, et cetera, and Kim Jong-il, who is ill, by the way, and it's a question of which son will take over if he goes. And who is the lesser of the two evils there? And ultimately, what kind of decisions will they make? Of course, it hasn't happened yet. In the meantime, Al Gore on the way for another kind of mission, I guess you would call it, in North Korea to try to negotiate the release of the two American journalists who were sentenced Monday to 12 years in labor prison, like a gulag is what they're saying, kind of a death sentence because of the intense labor practices of the camps. They do things like make you move these heavy rocks from one part of the camp to another, kind of like what they did in some of the concentration camps in Germany, and then move it back to the other side. They beat prisoners, all that kind of stuff. So Laura Ling and Yuna Lee find themselves in this situation. They work for Al Gore's California-based Current TV is what it's called, and they're accused of crossing illegally into North Korea. And what the North Koreans are saying, they committed an unspecified grave crime against the nation. So as a result, lots of people reacting to this, including close family members and friends. Lisa Ling and Victor Cha reacted to what's happening.
It's scary. You know, we sit and watch the news, and there is a severely heightened tensions on the Korean Peninsula, and we just hope that the two issues remain separate.
A lot of it's about public face, and to send someone like the former vice president commands a very high audience in North Korea. He's directly related to the problem, and he's not an official American, so it's really a humanitarian mission.
Okay, so the humanitarian mission that nobody's really talking about. Gore hasn't said anything. He just supposedly is on his way. In the meantime, James Rubin talked about North Korea. He was on MSNBC on Morning Joe. I happened to catch that, and then I saw a clip of it later. He's a former Assistant Secretary of State. He talked about the situation with the journalists.
I wouldn't want to say anything that would be discouraging to them or their families. The only problem that is, in addition to what everybody knows about these two journalists, is that during a power struggle in North Korea, the premium is placed on the hardliners doing their thing. And so right now, North Korea is going through this power struggle. That's why people think they've taken such a hard line on the journalists, on missiles, on nuclear weapons, on the whole array of issues we have with North Korea. So it's a very, very bad time, probably one of the worst in more than a decade between the United States and North Korea.
All right, he also sounded off about Clinton, and, you know, Clinton as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, talked about them being separate issues. The journalists situation with the humanitarian edge, and then, of course, the other state that we're in currently dealing with North Korea.
Well, I think what she said, we're going to look at that. I think the administration is probably looking for any signal they can, economic, political, perhaps even a military-type step with respect to inspecting ships. The problem with the terrorism list is it's a technical question. Have there been new terrorist activities you can link to the North Koreans? And I suspect there haven't. The North Koreans haven't been in the pure terrorism business since way back when they accepted some of these Japanese terrorists many, many years ago. So my guess is that they are not going to choose that because technically it's difficult. What they will do instead is work with China on a long-term program to put the squeeze on access to North Korea so that technology, missiles, perhaps some nuclear technology can be interdicted on its way to their ports.
Could China be doing more?
Well, see, we haven't heard the last of this, and I'm curious about the Al Gore side of things, ultimately what happens when he goes to North Korea, because I don't think there's any compromise really to be reached here, and I believe they would be used as pawns, the two journalists. You can chime in on some of the things that I just mentioned at 800-259-5791. Ultimately, what should what should Gore do when he goes over there? Do whatever he can besides lie to get their release, I guess, right? Anything he can do to get them out of there. I'm sure that's what the families are thinking. Also, I talked about the money. Should it be recycled or go back into the Treasury? A couple of other things we're going to talk about as well. Tom is listening to us in New York. Hey, Tom.
How you doing there, Kate? I just wanted to make a comment on your 17-inch rule from the airlines, which is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I don't fly much, but I did have one bad experience, but it wasn't that. The 17-inch thing is entirely the fault of the airlines. It's everybody knows people come in three sizes, small, medium, and large.
Right.
They should have three different size seats on the planes. It's easy to do. Let's say you have three columns of 17-inch seats. You make one a 15, you leave one a 17, and you make the other one a 19. Still takes up the same space. You might charge a little less for the 15. You might charge a little more for the 19. That way, they might even attract more people to the airplanes.
Yeah, and that's not a bad idea to charge more for the bigger seat. But you know what this is, Tom? They want to squeeze us all in like sardines because really the seat should be 18 inches anyway for most people, and that's traditionally what the airlines were. But then they went with so many seats across, they tried to cram too many people in on some of the airlines.
No, I understand. But the beauty of this is that it would not take up any more room because you're making one to 15. Some people are small.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
There could be child seats. Somebody might want to spend a little less money and fit into a smaller seat, which will make a larger seat available for somebody who's much bigger.
Yeah,
might be able to attract a lot more riders to their planes in that way because everybody will be more comfortable.
Yeah, and I think we said this before, it'd be really hard. It's a discriminatory thing, I think. I mean, can you imagine telling people to get off the plane and maybe they can fly standby? I'd hate to have that job of being the flight attendant and telling someone that. Tom, thanks for your thoughts. I'll tell you about that story that Tom's referring to from the Wall Street Journal. Now United Airlines doing the same thing. Do you need more than 17 inches wide for an airline seat? If you do, you might have to pay double your ticket. Hang with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm convinced of how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, I'm John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and let's take in a brief mind movie. We're surrounded by jesters, members of the nation's largest clown club based in Washington, D.C. Fuzzy hair, baggy pants, big yellow shoes, and now offering financial assurances that all will be well. The stimulus package is working. A bailout is coming your way. And while we're flat broke, we're also told that we've stepped back away from the brink. Pardon me? Back to the real world. We know that we can rely on no one but ourselves to generate financial security. Protecting your assets is solely up to you. No one else is coming to the rescue. Please call me, John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, to discuss investing in precious metals, gold and silver, with a 6,000-year track record of success and security. I'm John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and together we'll create a package that really works for you.
The bad economy doesn't have to mean bad business. The secret is good leadership. Join me for Lance on Leadership on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com, and I'll introduce you to fresh thinking and smart business strategies that will leave your competition in the dust. Take a few minutes each week to stretch your thinking and sharpen your focus. Break through the status quo so you can grow. That's Lance on Leadership on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Current newscast is in trouble, it seems. Charlie and Ryan's ratings are like double. Change her whole attitude and suggest that she read the news. Hey, CBS, this whole thing is a total mess. It's a total mess. Hey, CBS. Tons of stress,
tons of stress
for the perky news princess. In fact, her news gets beat by freaking Full House reruns. Maybe it's because she's
So sad to pick on Katie Couric. We couldn't help ourselves here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with you. Boy, I certainly would wish her success, but unfortunately, not an easy climb from that morning show where she was incredibly popular to CBS. And they had their lowest total viewer delivery since the Nielsen records have been kept. An all-time low the week of June 1st, 5,180,000. Now you compare that to the other networks. ABC, of course, has Charlie Gibson, and he's got the viewership at 7 million, or at least he'll get a lot of credit for it, 7,150,000. Brian Williams, who took over NBC's seat, if you remember, many years ago for Tom Brokaw, 7,960,000. I mean, here's the question, though. Is it Katie Couric? Is it the CBS News? Is it a combination of both? Is it that more people watch NBC? Is it the lead-in to the evening news? I'll tell you, anybody younger, anybody in their 20s, they are not watching, for the most part, they are not watching the evening news. So whatever the networks are doing, they have to be incredibly aware of that. That's why you hear about the blogging. They're getting that, the blogging, the Twitter, the Facebook, all that, because it's really about the Internet. And almost anybody in that age range, well, a lot of people nowadays, you're not even home in time for the evening news. The traditional, you used to be home, get home, watch the news, eat the dinner, that is so out the window. But still, it's pretty healthy to get almost $8 million for NBC for an evening newscast. That's not bad if you think about it, right? Although then you think the television show, which I can't believe people watch, the reality show, John and Kate Plus Eight. I've only seen snippets of it, like the promos, and I know who they are, and I know the situation. But that show, 10 million people watched it last week. 10 million. So more than all of the evening newscasts. But Brian Williams, number one with the amount of viewers. And Gibson, I told you already, second. And Katie Couric, lowest so far. So then, you know, of course, what comes out is, oh, it's, you know, it's nobody's fault. And we're doing new things at CBS or whatever. Maybe that's part of the problem. They try to reinvent everything. And I'll tell you, they've had people in the seat, obviously, who've been popular over the years, and Cronkite was the guy. And CBS really, has CBS been anywhere near where it should have been ever since he retired, when you think about it? I'm going to say no, he was the man, and no offense to Dan Rather, but Dan Rather, I think he got better ratings than Katie Couric, but didn't live up to the Cronkite status. Once he was gone, you know. It's weird, too. You think 300 million people in the country, but then you look at television viewing and 30 million something watching American Idol, which is the highest heights really for anything now. I told you about that crazy show, that reality show, and the 10 million they get. The New York Housewives, the Real Housewives of New York City, got huge ratings, 8 million, 9 million. So they're even getting a little bit more than the network newscasts are. But 300 million people, and that's the highest audience. Oof. Who knows? Do you think she'll continue to hold that seat, or they'll change something up? I mean, that's the interesting thing, because it's all about the money in the networks. It's completely about the money. If you're getting the ratings, you're making the money, then you're fine. If you're not, usually, eventually, you're out. We were just talking about the airline thing, the 17-inch deal, and I'll tell you more about that. It's nothing new, by the way, because other airlines have done it. In fact, 8 other airlines have done it. Southwestern might have been the first. They got a lot of press on it, negative, a lot of it, because they decided that you'd have to get another seat. You can't be giant and get a seat. So United Airlines swears they got 700 complaints about people having to share seats with oversized people, and they didn't like it. So United Airlines decided, well, here's the scoop. You have an alternative. You can get off the plane, fly on standby. Maybe there's a plane coming next that doesn't have as many people, or you can pay for 2 seats. But see, now that's not going to work out all the time anyway, because a lot of the planes, has anybody flown lately? You know, Tom called us from New York, and you think of the New York airports. I've flown in all of them, Newark, LaGuardia, JFK, and you think of Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington. A lot of those planes in the Northeast are jammed, and other places, too, because you have less planes flying because the airlines are trying to save money. So the theory of, okay, you paid for this ticket, you show up, you get in, and we decide you're too big to just sit in your seat. Now, there's no other seats left on this plane, so you can't even buy another seat if you wanted to. So you have to get, off the plane, and then there's this empty seat there. Boy, I don't know. It puts a lot on the flight attendant, too, because they'd have to be the Solomon. They'd have to be the one that would settle the difference. It's not going to be the pilot, for goodness sake, and it's not going to be anybody else, because they're the people in the plane. There's not a weight control person on the plane yet. Can you imagine? Would that not be the worst? That would totally be ridiculously Big Brother-ish, stupid, and humiliating if they made us all weigh in when we went on the plane. Because you could be a guy, we said this before, I mean, you could be a guy that's just a little bit chubby, not heavy, heavy. And it's your size, your height, all kinds of things you have to take into account. And what about pregnant women? A really big pregnant woman, she could have been a really thin woman who gained a lot of those hot supermodels that people salivate, you guys salivate over. You'll see magazines and they say they gained 70 pounds when they got pregnant. Well, they're not the skinny beanpole they were before. So, and people are going to recognize them. They get on the plane and they're going to get escorted out. I guess the answer would be, if you were going to have to pay for two seats anyway, then it would probably be more worth your while to fly first class. But, oof, it just, I think it opens up a lot of problems for the airlines. But they're doing it, so it's already done. It's a done deal. United Airlines just joins the fray and makes a you just have to make a decision. They tell you if you're over that mark, then somebody has to decide what to do. I guess if you're the flight attendant, you're really hoping that you have an empty row so that you don't have that problem. And the worst would be if the person that was really, because then I guess the complaints would fly, if the person was really big and they were in the middle. I mean, either way, like I said, it's not a good situation because I wouldn't want to be the person who would have to police this. That would be ridiculously ugly. Anybody else think the same thing? When you go to apply for the job and you're the flight attendant, they say, okay, yeah, this is how you have to deal with the public. And there's a lot of things you're going to face because people are aggravated and they're aggravated about the bags because the bags is always a big deal. You know, they have that thing where they measure the size of your bag and then people are arguing and there's always people that bring, it's like they're going to a garage sale. And somehow they get pie, the flight attendant, but other people with really not very much, it's questionable as to, geez, what size is your bag? And the reason people don't want to have to go through the whole baggage thing is because they're charging you $15 a bag. And, of course, if your bag is over 50 pounds, then you have to pay, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's $50, $100, but it can definitely get up there. I mean, my mom came to visit me recently, and she is a slender woman, so she didn't have the seat problem, but she had to weigh her luggage. We had to weigh her luggage because we were afraid. It seemed like it was definitely under 50 pounds, but you didn't want to get her to the airport and start pulling things out because why do you want to pay 50 or 100 bucks? Turned out the bag weighed 45 pounds, so she was right there. She was in, baby. Hang with us. We have much more fun and frivolity coming your way next. 800-259-5791.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
The airlines don't have any love, let's face it, for you and me anyway, the passengers. I believe it. We've seen what's happened recently with the airlines. Of course, we know that there's problems, they're losing money, and it gets passed on to us, talking about charging to use the restroom. Now, that's nowhere near close to happening, but it has been discussed, I was told. Can you imagine that? Like one of those pay toilets where you have to put in the change. So you have to, what, ask the guy next to you, gosh, I don't have any quarters with me. Do you have some quarters? And there's like a little ticker on it. That's crazy. But it is a reality in many of the airlines that you can't be too big. If you're too big, or they determine you're too big, you'll have to buy an extra seat, get off the plane. There's a couple of different things they can do. And the flight attendants, I guess, would have to decide that. There's been some gnarly incidents as a result of that. United Airlines, just the latest airline to do that. They've thrown their hat in with this whole lot, too. And, of course, it was easier for them to do it since they're not the breakthrough person like Southwest or whatever. And basing it on the fact that they got 700 complaints that the people traveling were too big, the people who had bought a ticket said the people next to them were just too bloody big. But is that fair or foul with the airlines? And we know that they could increase the legroom. We know they could increase the room, but I don't think they're going to do it. To me, it seems like they're trying to stuff as many people in as they can, especially in cutting back flights. Now, if you have some thoughts on this, you're working. I know we have a ton of people that are working. Flip me an email at americatonight.net or 800 205-259-5791. Let's go out to Chris, who's listening to us in Missouri. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Kate. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for the call. Do you think it's foul, this whole airline thing, or fair?
I think it's foul because what I was kind of wondering is if they're going to make you buy another seat, are they going to give you a 34-inch seat instead of that 17?
Yeah.
Or are they just going to set you in the 17 anyway?
They're going to set you in the 17 anyway, so you'd have to take the extender belt, and you make a good point. It's just like lifting up. What would you do? You'd have to lift up the armrest when you're in the air, but you couldn't do that otherwise, so you'd be paying for your same seat, really, but you'd have the vacant space next to you.
All right. Well, I was just curious about that. I don't get to fly that much, so I don't really know, but I thought it seemed like me, like if you're going to have to pay for double the space, then you ought to get double the space.
Yeah, I agree. I think you make a good point. If you're going to have to pay, especially with what the airlines are charging, I mean, that's ridiculous. If somebody gets and you have this is too, you could be sitting next to somebody and they paid $300 more than you did or vice versa, depending on when you got the ticket, you know, because the airfares go in different directions on whether or not the flights are full or how popular they are or how many flights they have going in that direction, all that sort of stuff. But I'm glad Chris brought that up because that's exactly what it is. You don't get a bigger seat. They don't have a bigger seat on the plane. You just get the seat next to you. So you would be buying the two seats. And that would mean the armrest would be down when you were going, landing, and when you were taking off. And then I guess you could lift it up. But you'd still have the seatbelt problem. And it's certainly, how comfortable would that be for you? I don't know. I mean, I've been on planes where I've done the overnight thing. And I had to, this has been a while, but I used to do it from California back east. Oh, what a brutal flight that was. And I would take the red eye. People would suggest, work all day and take the red eye. You'll be asleep. You'll be so fresh when you get home. Yeah, right. But I would just, and plus then I was such a little, I was like a little slip of a shrimp, but I didn't think it mattered. I would have empty seats near me and just lay down, and they didn't police you the way they do now. Now you have to have the seat belts around, and I don't know. I mean, I guess you could still lay down, but it's not quite the same as it used to be when I flew before. Everything changed after 9/11, as you all know. And then they're cutting the amount of flights because of the costs and everything else. So the idea of the roomier seats, although it's been suggested, I don't think it's going to happen. And it depends on what, plane you fly in, too. There are some planes, even the smaller planes, where they have the two seats. And if you're flying with somebody, sometimes that's comfortable. But if you're flying across, you know, a really big plane, that can be the worst when you're stuck in the middle somewhere. I mean, anything to be on the aisle or the window, I think. Especially, I know some people like the aisle, but I think the window. Unless you have to get up a bunch, you can just crash, lay your head against the side, way better. And then, the added pleasure, if a bird happens to be flying toward the engine, you could actually see it happening. So you could be forewarned, and get in the correct position for the water landing. My head still goes back to what happened in January, and that flight, just incredible. Yeah, Captain Sullenberger landing that flight the way he did. And now, of course, still talking about it, and still being honored, by the way, all over the place, but talking to the NTSB at their hearing as to what could possibly be done to rectify the situation of birds slamming into an engine and risking the lives of the people on board. And they're talking about maybe some kind of radar on the ground, but that seems dicey, I think, to me. Trying anything is better than doing nothing, however. And especially over that New York area, the Canadian geese, they have the problem with the Canadian geese, but that's not the only airport or the only plane that has been pelted by birds before. There have been tons. And yes, in that area they get reports, but there have been several other airports that have dealt with the same thing. So if you come up with some kind of radar, I guess that could help everybody probably across the board. Hey, speaking of flights and 17 inches, sadly, the people that were aboard that French jet that was going last week from Rio de Janeiro to Paris didn't survive. But trying to piece together what happened is important. And it looks like it could have been something that might have been helped. So they're talking about the speed and what was the speed and what happened. And how sad is this? You think of all those people on that flight, and they all have a million different stories, right? But now, sadly, the thing they have in common is they were all killed in the air. And they're trying to piece this puzzle together for this Air France Flight 447. And they know there was a series of these electrical failures. In fact, we had a pilot on who flew and has flown many times that exact route. And he said it was electrical, and that was the problem. So 17 more bodies pulled from the sea. That means the number is now 41. And what they're... And so they're trying to identify all the people, but what they're also trying to do is identify what happened. It flew into thunderstorms on May 31st and was brought down, but the data recorders are still missing, and they're focusing on the possibility that these speed monitors, these tubes iced over and gave false readings to the plane's computers in the storm, and this has happened, and other pilots complained about it. It's the L-shaped metal tubes that jut from the wing or the fuselage of the plane, and they're heated up to prevent icing. The pressure of air entering the tubes lets the sensors measure the speed and the angle of the flight, right? But a malfunctioning one of those tubes could mislead the computers controlling the plane to dangerously accelerate or even decelerate. So they started replacing those tubes on the 330s and the 340s. After they had all these incidents of icing, and they didn't replace it on that plane, ooh, that is like, of course there are going to be lawsuits, but that is a definite lawsuit that is waiting to happen. Here's something from John Cox, and it's about that key part that we're talking about on the French jet. Take a listen to this.
The thing that's probably most critical is to get the recorders, to get the cockpit voice recorder and the digital flight data recorder. They will tell the tale definitively.
All right, and see, that's what they need to know what happened there. So he's right. They've got to have those recorders. Have to have those recorders so that they can put the master plan together and say, okay, this is definitively what happened. We know that we have other planes that have experienced incorrect airspeed indications, and they had that same thing going on. So, I mean, just awful. Awful, too, for obviously the families. But the only thing I can say, I guess the only comfort to the people left is the fact that the bodies are surfacing. And that sounds so morbid, doesn't it? But wouldn't you rather know and rather have the identification so that you have the remains to bury or do with what you choose, whether it's cremation, whatever it might be, whatever your family deems the right type of burial. But at least you would have that. There were two Americans on board. There were all kinds of people on board that flight. I mean, I hate reading the stories because it's just so sad. There were a lot of young people on the flight, a lot of people with a lot of interesting stories, but they all perished. And it could have been simply this one thing and the malfunctioning of it that caused the misreadings. And, you know, they had these frantic messages that they sent during the last moments of the plane, like a burst of 24 automatic messages the last minutes. But it shows the signal actually showed that the plane's autopilot wasn't on, but it wasn't clear if it had been switched off by the people in the cockpit, the pilots, the actual pilots, or just stopped working because of the airspeed readings. And that's what happens. Everything in the planes, as the pilot explained to us last week, is electronic. I mean, that's what you're talking about when you get into a plane. And so it malfunctioned, obviously. It's probably because of that part that happened. But it's not official. It's just what they're thinking at this point with the investigations that they've been doing. Coming up on the flip side, we've got sports shorts and a couple of other things. You can chime in whenever you want to, 800-259-5791.
You already know that drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious-tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
As we swing into sports shorts here on America Tonight, guys, if you're hoop fans at all, I know a lot of guys don't like hoops the way it's played anymore. The ticky-tacky fouls not being called, certain guys, you know, getting the free pass ultimately. I don't know, I still find it interesting to watch the finals, particularly when you have a team like the Magic. They're getting no respect. Well, they found their zone, baby, on Tuesday night. They shot an NBA Finals best, 62.5%. So here's the key thing. What does it mean? Well, they won Game 3. The Lakers do lead the series 2-1, but the Magic was working their magic at Amway Arena in Orlando big time, and Kobe Bryant, who is one of the best players in the NBA, I mean, guys, even if you don't like him, come on. Come on, you got to know it. He still is one of the best players. He fell apart in the end, which is unusual for Kobe when they needed him. He's looking for his fourth title and his first since 2002. He scored 31 points for the Lakers, but he had just 10 points in the second half, and he went only, check out this stat, 4 of 15 from the field after the first quarter. That's like my stats from Cherry Hill East. Awful. So he missed 5 free throws, points that could have given the Lakers, of course, the lead that they were hoping for, 3-0. Yeah. So that kind of changes things for the Magic and for the Orlando fans, they certainly have a shot. There's no doubt about it. I think we have a little ode to Kobe Bryant coming up.
Bryant going to the line. Misses another free throw. That's the fifth missed free throw of the game for Kobe Bryant. He can't believe it. 4 of 9 from the line. And it's still a three-point game. Bryant comes up top. He just falls down. Turkler one goes back. Shot is up. Off the mark. No good. Gasol trying to track it down. Saves it back to Bryant. Bryant forces up a three. Wonko. Bryant stolen by Peaches, but Gasol gets it back. Lost it again. And Peaches is fouled by Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, so the Lakers, my friends, tied an NBA record by losing their seventh straight finals game on the road. Ooh. You have to go way back to the 50s for a team that doesn't exist, well, in its current, it's a different name now, not the Fort Wayne Pistons, Pistons of a different sort, but the Fort Wayne Pistons lost seven straight from 55 to 56. How's that for a statistic for you? Bad night for the Lakers in the end. Even Shaquille O'Neal, he was Twittering, and on his Twitter page after the game, he wrote, "By George, I think we have a series." I wonder what he's thinking because of his relationship with Kobe Bryant. Is he hoping to see Kobe go down and the Magic to rise? And, of course, he has a history there. But or is he pulling for his old pal Kobe Bryant? They had a falling out, then they got back together again. So, you know, which is it for Shaquille O'Neal? We know that Matt Johnson has no love for Kobe Bryant. And, Matt, you had to be happy to see the Magic pull that out.
Weren't those some lovely highlights?
That was so nasty.
I'm
sure Kobe's lovely wife is going to send me an email. Thanks, I appreciate that. She listens to the show religiously. So.
Well, he shouldn't melt down in the fourth quarter.
He did.
People want to anoint him as the next Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan doesn't melt down in fourth quarters. That's when he shows up.
That's true, and many times Kobe has shown up, but he didn't in this game, that's for sure. I gave you the ugly numbers, and they were just absolutely terrible, terrible, terrible numbers. Because if he had just sunk a few of those baskets either way at the tail end, it would have made a difference, and they would have been up 3-0. See, this is scary, because sometimes this is how you lose things. And defensively, I watched a bunch of this game. Defensively, the Lakers didn't have it going on either. And of course, they had been playing pretty solid defense from what I saw in the other couple of games, but not in this one. And the Magic, boy, I'll tell you what, they were terrible in games 1 and 2 at the Staples Center. I mean, they shot just 36%. And this time it was a whole different feeling for them in front of their home crowd fans. So good for the Magic for making it a little bit more interesting. I agree with Shaquille O'Neal. To me, blowouts are boring anyway. Although I still think the Lakers are going to win this one. I thought Detroit was going to take the last game, but they didn't. And so now there is a game 7, do you believe it, between the Penguins and the Red Wings. So the Penguins pulled off an incredible 2-1 win over the Wings. What a performance to dig deep the way they did. Check out this moment.
Still a half a minute to go. Rafalski has the puck again. Looks up ice. Pavel Datsyuk into the attacking zone. Has Zetterberg with him in front of the net. The puck's on a screen. Hosa now pats it down. Takes the shot. Bruce puck side of the net. Runs and battles. Bangs away at it. Fleury's got it. And the clock will stay at 13.2. Zetterberg and Crosby on another important faceoff. Red Wings get it. Brian Rafalski, screenshot wide of the net. He wants that to bounce out front. Dave Cleary's after the puck. He hooks it out front of the net. Calvin Pearson. No puck presentation tonight. Game 7, Friday. Pittsburgh wins. Pittsburgh wins.
Well, how about that? Pittsburgh wins. Now you've got the Game 7, and boy, this could go either way. I just saw a quick poll on where they asked people, what team do you think will win Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, the Penguins or the Red Wings? And just by a little bit, people are picking the Penguins now. So this is a nice change, the fact that you've got this Game 7. Nothing like a Game 7 period in sports, whether you're talking about the World Series or whether you're talking about on the ice or whether you're talking about in hoops. To me, guys, I'm telling you, Game 7 is it. So I know I'll be watching. They forced it. I could be the Penguins pulling it out in the end. Like I said, it was a defining moment. It showed real character that they certainly were not giving up, and they didn't have that in their heads. But the fact that they could dig deep the way they did, incredibly big for the Penguins. And Game 7 should be a nice game, I think. Matt, we've talked about hockey before. I think this makes it that much more interesting for people who don't have a, let's say, dog in this one.
Yeah, definitely. And you got the old guard of the Detroit Red Wings versus the up-and-comers of Pittsburgh with the young guys, you know, Malkin Stahl, mm-hmm. and Crosby.
Right.
So I think it's definitely good for hockey overall that this went 7 because it looked rather iffy the first couple of games, especially even the last game when Fleury let in, you know, 5 goals.
Oh, and they had to pull him.
Yeah. That was ugly.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
So it's a good comeback.
And he's such a stud. It's a good comeback, yeah. It's a very good comeback. So that was it was really a day of comebacks. The Magic edging out the Lakers and the Penguins edging out the Red Wings when they could have closed them down. I guarantee that there was champagne on ice, so it's a very, very big win for them. On a personal note for you, I guess your Minnesota Twins really had the bats going because they had a big win, too, over, what, Oakland 10-5.
Yeah, and we let up all 5 runs in the last inning, tried to get Scott Baker the complete game, and that didn't go so well. So then we had to bring in the bullpen, and Nathan actually had to come in to get the last 2 outs, which is not what you want. But we got the young stars working here. Yeah, the M&M boys, the new M&M boys, Maurer and Morneau. And then Jason Kubel had a home run, too. So we're cranking up the offense here in Dairyland country.
And it's the last year for people who don't know. You're saying, oh, here she is talking about sports. But it's the last year for the Twins in Baggyland because they're not going to be playing there anymore. How's that stadium, the construction and everything? How's that going?
It looks amazing. And I'm going to have tickets there next year, Target Field. It's going to be fantastic. And I cannot wait to go to baseball outdoors. I've never seen a game outdoors in Minnesota other than minor league baseball because I was born in 81. They moved in the Dome in 82. So the only times I've been outside for professional baseball is Wrigley and Comiskey and, you know, other state stadiums.
Yeah. What a difference that makes. I covered baseball for a long time. I covered baseball in Texas and, of course, outdoors. I covered the Mets at Shea Stadium and the Phillies and Citizens Park, and that's a brand new facility, just absolutely gorgeous. On a last note here for sports shorts, Mike Tyson, somehow the women can't resist him, right? Third time could be the charm, perhaps. He married his girlfriend, I think it's Lakeisha Spicer, in a ceremony at La Bella Wedding Chapel at the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel on Saturday night. It's his third marriage. He's 42, she's 32. They got a marriage license about 30 minutes before their ceremony. And he says they just wanted to say the vows and be married. It was very sincere. You know that whole thing about strange bedfellows and all that, right?